Next item on the agenda is public hearing, consideration of final blue crab regulations.
This is the public hearing to consider establishing the 2010 blue crab regulations. You received a very detailed briefing last month on all of the science and analyses and reasoning as to why staff thinks these are the appropriate regulations. Unless you have questions, I'm not going to go back through all of that information. But we did include in your evaluation a copy of last month's evaluation that contains all of that information once again in the event you want to look back at it. There are three regulations that we are asking that you adopt today. The first is a change in the Regulation 370 that allows the possession of dark sponge crabs. The current seasonal closure for dark sponge crabs is March 17 through July 15. We are proposing to back up that date to June 30 so that starting on July 1, a crabber can once again keep the dark sponge crabs. This recommendation is based on science that comes from the Virginia Institute of Marine Science that suggests that the mortality rates on those dark sponge crabs in the warm months, July and August, is extensive. And so the regulation does not achieve during those months the conservation that we once thought it did. And the regulation change is supported by the official position from VIMS, which you have a copy of in your documentation. The second area where we're asking for changes is closure of the winter dredge fishery for an additional season. Last month we went through a long litany of reasons why that fishery should remain closed for yet an additional season. We're not going to repeat those, but I would make you aware of some new information that we'd like to submit for the record. First off, there was a study done by Dr. Tom Miller at the Chesapeake Bay Laboratory. You may recall Dr. Miller is one of the principal authors of the current blue crab stock assessment and is currently involved in updating that assessment. It'll be available sometime in 2011. But his study, his modeling study that was done back in 2001, and we have a copy of it, which I'll provide to you. Just to quote one line out of his report, it says the model indicated that reductions in the winter dredge fishery would have a substantial role in ensuring the long-term sustainability of the population. And he goes on in great detail to describe how significant regulation of that fishery can go a long way towards sustaining blue crab population. So we think that further supports keeping the fishery closed an additional season. Additionally, staff's been doing some additional looks at the scientific literature and has found three journal articles that describe the significant impacts that dredging can have on bottom habitats, and those are noted in your evaluation as well and submitted as in further support of keeping the fishery closed for an additional year. And then finally, of course, you have the official VIMS position in support of keeping the fishery closed. The third item that we're asking you to consider this month is to continue the current moratorium on the sale of new crabbing licenses. As you know, reduction in the capacity of the fishery has been a long-term goal. It is not something that we have ever intended to achieve overnight, but to work on over a period of years in the hopes of reducing the overcapacity that plagues that fishery now. And I have a few slides for you that I think also suggest some good news in our work in that area. The first figure here reminds you that we have placed a number of licenses on the waiting list. They're fairly substantial. I believe they represent, if everyone on this list were to come back into the fishery and fish their maximum amounts, I think it was something like 60,000 pots that would be added to the fishery. And of course, if things continue to go the way they had been going with the recovery of the resource, under current regulation, these folks who are now on the waiting list will come back into the fishery next April. And in that regard, could present an additional problem. We also have, as you know, finished a successful license buyback program that resulted in the purchase and elimination of 359 licenses. This by itself resulted in the elimination of about 70,000 pots from the fishery. You'll recall some concern that at previous meetings where it was noted that some of these people could come back into the fishery by transferring or purchasing licenses from other fishermen and having them transferred and come back. To date, we've had, I think, about 23 people out of the 359 who have come back into the fishery through that transfer process. Not a significant amount, as was once feared. Here's the good news. Overall, because of the waiting list and because of the license buyback, and because of people just leaving the fishery, we are now approaching the numbers of people who are eligible to participate in the crab pot fishery. We're actually lower than where we were in the late 1980s. So we are clearly achieving our goal, I think, of reducing overcapacity, but we're also not there yet. Recall previous studies that indicated that 200 of the best crabbers in the bay could literally harvest the sustainable quantity of crabs from the bay by themselves. And, of course, we still have 1,200 people in the fishery. So the good news is the numbers are down and down substantially, headed in the right direction, but we need to maintain this license moratorium so we don't start going backwards. Keep in mind, too, the numbers there account for the people on the waiting list. And, of course, next year, the number would go up if those people are allowed to enter the fishery. Pilapot, same kind of good news. We're really starting to see a drop-off in those numbers, again, because of the waiting list, because of the license of buyback. I think there's anything particularly new there. The other good news is, and you're already aware that harvest here in Virginia was up about 30% because of the improvements in the status of the resource. But what we did not make you aware of last month was how the value of the fishery has increased from less than $15 million dockside value to now approaching $27 million. So almost a doubling of the dockside value of the fishery. This is this is great news. I mean, that's a lot of money out there to the fishermen. So I know they've had to suffer through some of these very significant regulations we've put on them, but they are beginning to reap some of the economic value from the fishery once again, and I would anticipate that the 2010 number will be still higher. This gets at the optimum yield. Because we do not limit the total harvest on, as an output measure, as the resource grows and improves, we allow harvest to rise. And so fishermen can reap some of the benefits, and I think that's what this slide is suggesting.
I think that's
the last one. The bottom line here is that we're requesting that you continue the license sales moratorium, and we would further suggest that we begin now to address how we might deal with those crabbers on the waiting list and how they might be allowed to come back into the fishery, anticipating that we will hit next April that third year of population level that under current regulation would allow them to come back in. I would hope we not wait until, you know, next February or March to develop a plan as to how those folks would come back in, but begin to discuss it now with the advisory committee and have something worked out by this winter. And then finally, of course, the VIM's opinion also supports continuation of the license sales moratorium. Glad to answer any questions.
Questions for Mr. Schick?
That graph is great. It really shows in the last 20 years that we're achieving the best ratio of pounds to profit of harvest. And I think it's a great example of how regulations, you know, can help the people that they're regulating. And I guess there was only 1 year in the last 20 years that there was a larger value. And the quantity was a lot higher, so obviously the effort, the value per effort was not nearly as good as what we're seeing today. So,
not only that, right, because there's less people in the fishery, that means more of those dollars are going, you know, to fewer people, which means higher profit.
Mr. Robbins?
Jack, I'd like to follow up a little bit on the discussion that that you raised at the end of your presentation with respect to what we might do in a year or over the course of the next year in anticipation of the waiting list becoming potentially active. And so, you know, just going back in time when we originally discussed this in committee, we talked about the fact that it would be important to have some sort of analysis done before those licenses come back in to ensure that the re-entry into the fishery is orderly and appropriate in terms of where we are relative to the status of the resource and the capacity in the fishery. And so a couple of things are going to happen over the course of the next year, but one is that while this regulation is tied to interim reference points, there will be a new stock assessment out. And I don't know if that will be out in the first quarter of the year or second quarter of the year, but at some point during 2011, I presume we'll have a new stock assessment. And
I think it's going to a peer review in March of 2011, and then after that, those comments will be addressed, so it brings it to the last third, maybe, of the year.
Okay. Well, I think that's an important piece of information because the new stock assessment presumably would yield a new reference point and perhaps give us more of a long-term reference point that we'd be shooting at instead of an interim target. And so, you know, I think we need to try to figure out how to take that into account. But it seems to me that we would benefit from going ahead now and initiating an analysis at the staff level. I don't know if the staff could develop a discussion paper or perhaps in conjunction with them begin to look at a capacity analysis, because we've just been through this massive regulatory reform process that included a major buyback, really an unprecedented buyback for the fishery. And so if we're still in a state of excess capacity in a year, I'd be concerned about adding to that, but I think we need to have, at that point in time, a very informed look at the capacity to ensure that whatever entry is allowed into the fishery is sustainable and in line with the status of the stock and makes sense relative to the current amount of capacity in the fishery. And you said earlier that when the fishery was at a low level, the top 200 or 250 boats could catch the harvest target, and you know, hopefully that number will increase as the resource continues to recover. But I think the question is, in the future, what's the appropriate level? What's the, you know, what does an effective limited access system look like in terms of the number of permits? But I would hope that we would go through
a significant analysis before we make a decision about that. So I would support the idea of moving forward with that now. And I don't know if you need us to memorialize that through any sort of motions up here. I'll leave that to the chair, or that can just be done by consent. But I think initiating that type of stuff would be very important to us.
By consent, I concur with the entire direction you're going. I mean, it's got to be the more time that we have to spend on it as we approach that, it being a methodical, well thought out approach, because as I've said before, we don't want to go back.
Right.
Where would it sounds trite and over, but I just, in my heart of hearts, do not want to go through what we've been through before. Management of this delicate and still fragile fishery is of utmost importance. So, with that, by consensus, I believe we can send it to Greg when he starts working on that, utilizing every tool that we have at our avail to make sure that the decisions we make are the correct decisions. Good point. Excellent. Further questions of Jack? I'm sorry, Mr. Tanger.
You mentioned capacity, and do we have to, in fact, allow the waitlisted people into the fishery next year?
The current regulation simply says that when we hit 3 consecutive years of adult crab abundance of 200 million or more, the licenses are returned. And of course, we've hit the second year now, and you know the trend appears to be upward. So you have to anticipate we would hit that next April, which would, unless we do something, would automatically return those licenses to those people in their previous form. Part of the good news is, we purchased a number of the licenses from people on the waiting list. So the waiting list is nowhere near as large as it once was. But still, you're talking about a large number of crab pots that would be back in the water if those licenses are returned next year.
And there may have to be, depending on how it works, some adjustments made on other specific risk factors. Mr. Fox?
Can a waiting list license be transferred from Fala to Sana?
Not right now.
So it's locked?
While it's on the waiting list, it's locked. There's essentially no license. You're on hold.
So there's nothing?
Nothing. There's nothing to transfer. Yes.
So if the man dies, that license is gone?
Yes. Now, once they, you know, one of the fears would be if next April they get back in, while those individuals had not crabbed the previous 5 years and may have no desire to go crabbing again, that license will have value and it could be transferred at that point under current rules. And you know what happens when a person buys a license. He's going to make sure he makes use of it. He's not going to buy it and sit it on the shelf. It's going to become active.
Right. Further questions? Thank you, Jack. This is a public hearing. Does anyone wish to be heard from the public on the matters before the commission? Mr. Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate Jack's summary and the more detailed presentation we received at the last hearing that I think documents that the population is on an excellent track and has made significant progress. And I think at least part of that is responsive to the fact that fishing mortality has now been cut below the threshold. So additionally, I think the arguments for keeping the winter dredge fishery closed are good arguments. I think if we didn't do that, we'd have to make substantial trade-offs within the pot fishery that would have very significant dislocative social and economic impacts. And so I think they're making the right recommendation here to keep that fishery closed. I would offer a motion that we accept staff's recommendations on the blue crab regulatory package.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Dr. McConaughey. Further discussion on the matter? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.